I think I don't have the numbers up right now, but M is pretty much number one on Spotify with streams. I think because I think Halsey dropped the same day, Selena Gomez dropped the same day, I think as well, and Mac dropped. So Eminem is number one, and they got like maybe the next couple spots in there. But because Eminem dropped without no promotion, everybody's like, yo, what's the hype about? They're trying to figure out why is this album so good? Why is everybody retweeting? Why does everybody keep going in on these lines? So I think it's drawing attention from everybody else. Like Halsey finally sold 200,000 or whatever, which is an accomplishment for her, but it's overshadowed by Eminem, the megastar. You know what I mean? Selena Gomez's camp, they've done so much promotion and build up for this album, and again, Eminem is just shattering that. So even when he's not trying, he's killing these pop stars, dog.
That's how it's been since day one. I remember those TRL days. Play like 4 minutes of a, or not 4 minutes, 4 seconds of a Britney song, and then, all right, so here's that Eminem song.
All right. So the one issue I wanted to cover, because we kind of got sidetracked, but that was a good topic. The daddy issues, all right? So everybody should know the Eminem story by now. Dad dipped out, went to the store when he was born and got lost, apparently. Common theme in the urban neighborhoods.
Couldn't find the right cigarettes. It's an epidemic. These
I mean,
wacky tobacco companies, them.
it's been the occurring theme in hip hop, right? A lot of these great artists, they don't have a dad. Jay-Z, Kanye, etc. Right? And I think Eminem suffered more so than any other artist because he constantly talks about this. Like, I know Jay-Z rekindled the flame of his dad before he died, and you know, he got that resolution, that conflict resolution that he's been looking for. I don't know about J. Cole, what he's doing with his dad. Kanye West, I don't think he ever got a chance. But it's like, this has been eating Eminem alive for so long. He's rapped on numerous songs about killing his dad, and if he saw him face to face, what he would do, and the violence and the anger and the rage that's inside of him because his dad was absent in his life. On this album, he has a verse about his dad. It's on the song called Leaving Heaven. So apparently, I didn't know this, but his dad died recently. I don't even know how he knows, but his dad died. And he never had a chance to have that face to face. So when you hear this song and those lyrics, he's still kind of hurt in a way. And a certain point towards the end, when the song is going on this outro, Eminem is talking and he's like, you know, maybe if I had you, I wouldn't have went through half the shit I went through, so I blame you. Or maybe I should say thank you, because I wouldn't have been me. Which he also said on like a song like a Rose or whatever on the Revival. But you can tell that he's still with some type of maybe regret, I don't know, or just that animosity. It's just like, you know what? Fuck you, I'm better off without you type thing. That's always been his vibe towards his father.
Yeah, because remember he lost his mom first, right? And upon losing his mom, that's when you started hearing in the music, like, yo, I
Wait,
put everything on you.
his mom died? I didn't even know about that. Shit.
That was I think it was in Marshall Mathers LP 2 he started talking about that.
Yeah, that song Headlights. I thought he was trying to rekindle the flame with her. I didn't know she died.
No, she died, and that's why he wrote the song and said it was too late that he was doing
Oh,
all this.
shit.
But he acknowledged the fact that like he put everything on her when she was the one who stuck around, regardless of, yeah, she wasn't perfect, but she was there.
She was present, right?
Right? She never like abandoned him or gave up on him. She was there. Right? And that maybe their relationship would have been better if his pops would have stood up and been a man about certain things. And that's when you started getting Ah, oh, that one song. On that same album where he was
Let's
talking
see.
about like, oh, who's your daddy?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Let's see. Looking at the track list, it's not coming to my mind right now. Could be so much better. I literally just looked at this track list. Could be so much better. I don't know. But I mean, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's when he started, because he started seeing it. Like, all right, yeah, this is what happens. Like, he still had, like, he had, there's a certain level of anger towards his mom, but not as much because, again, she did what she could do with what she
Yeah.
had. Like, she wasn't a perfect being, but she stuck around. Meanwhile, his pops just dipped off, started a whole new family, and he was there for them.
Right.
Right? And so it was like, oh, all right. That's fine that you did that, but you didn't make any attempts, right? You nothing, you know? And so all of this, all these years of me battling with her is really me trying to battle you, but you're not there. So I can't even do that.
Right.
So that's where we're seeing that flip. Because he never really had mommy issues. Like he would always, he took care of her. He has some, but most of it was
Yeah. I mean, I
redirected
think,
shit from his pops.
yeah, when he first came out, he would say those explicit things about his mom. She even sued him at one point.
She sued him several times. He had that one song. I listened to that shit so many times. I'm ashamed that I don't know the name of it.
That wasn't the with Slim Shady without me. It was one of those big hit songs.
There's
Because I remember the
one.
video when he was like talking about it. So like the FCC won't let me be that John.
No, this one they couldn't play on the radio because it literally starts with him talking about killing his mom. Like, descriptively killing his mom. It was on the Slim Shady LP.
So let's bring that back to the conversation at hand. So with this whole daddy issues thing, at one point he said that there's a 47-year-old scab. And I don't have the line directly in front of me. But with that being said, it's just like, so you mean to tell me after all these years, 47 years have passed, if you've never made it a point to meet with your dad, or your dad never reciprocated that same energy, now you're 47 years old and you still have daddy issues somewhat. That message alone should stand loud and clear for those who currently have daddy issues. Those people who may not have their father for much longer, or may have their father, just don't have contact of him. Or you could flip the script and say mommy issues, right? Any issues with a parent, any parental issues, maybe we should start trying to mend these wounds before it's too late and we have these 47-year-old scabs,
Yeah. But also, and we've talked about this. I think it's one of those things where if you're a parent, especially if you're, I want to say a young parent, but not like in terms of like age, but young in terms of you're new to being a parent, right? And you're listening to these songs by M. Like, this should be something that you should be thinking about consciously. Like, hey man, I don't want my kid to ever feel like this, right? Because if you think about it, yo, all these things that he says about being a parent are about his parentage or, his parents.
His upbringing and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. His daughter has never had anything close to that, and he made sure of it. So even when he was through the drug phase, he wouldn't do it anywhere near her. It was always in the car while she was asleep. Like, so that in itself shows you a lot.
Going back to that, even with the drugs, him getting clean, I think he said it a couple times, like he got clean for himself, but also maybe alluded to getting clean for Haley, because as he keeps mentioning his song, like, all right, so let me go back to the MGK thing real quick. When MGK commented on Haley's picture, and said like, "Yo, she's so hot." And then now, a lot of times with this whole beef going on, I would get Google alerts talking about, "Look at this picture of Haley in a bikini, and look at what she's posting on Instagram and all this stuff like that." For the longest time in my brain, because Eminem would say Haley's song and treat her like a baby in the song, she's always been a little kid. I never realized how much time has went by until we actually seen Haley. And he mentioned it as well, like, "Yo, maybe I should never mention your name so many times in these songs, but the one thing I did do was keep your pictures off the internet, keep your pictures out of the public eye, so nobody could ever bully you or do anything to haunt you or hurt you because of your dad, right?" And we know he takes Haley serious. That's why Ja Rule doesn't have a career anymore.
Murder Inc. is gone because the whole crew just vanished.
They're all out of jobs. But with that being said, it's like, he did so much for Haley, and that kind of sacrifice comes from his upbringing as well. So a lot of times parents need to look at that as well. Like, all right, I didn't have this from my parents. I want my kid to have these kind of future. What do I have to sacrifice? Right? And for Eminem, it was like, my mom was a druggie. I'm a druggie. I should sacrifice that to give my daughter a better upbringing. You know what I mean? I have to be a role model for her. I don't want her to be a druggie because of me. You know what I mean? So like, that was a bad habit he sacrificed. Even though he had millions of dollars at the time, the money wasn't everything. So tied in again with the stepmom situation we was talking about, you can't accept people in your life just because they're bringing in money. That's a bad habit. So we need to work on ourselves as a whole, fix ourselves internally, and then work on those things that we lack. If it's money, find out a way to get educated and get a better position in life. Don't depend on other people to bring these things to you. If you have a kid, you have to do everything in your power to make sure your kid makes it through whatever hardships you're going through. I know there's stories where like moms would go hungry because I think Tupac's mom did the same thing. She would go hungry and let her kids eat, but it didn't matter because her kids were healthy. They were growing. She sacrificed literally everything. All right, so we got disconnected. Oh, no, we reached our time limit on Anchor. I've never done
Yes.
that before, so I'm breaking records today. Cool. So we were talking about the
Walmart
parents who
special.
go to, yeah,
It's Walmart to
go
get the
to
kids'
all the
clothes.
way. Meanwhile, they're rocking Gucci, Louis Prada, whatever.
I will go as far as to say this. There's nothing wrong with getting your kid stuff from Walmart or anywhere you gotta go so they have clothes on their back. Nothing wrong at all, especially even if you got money, because kids grow out of stuff and destroy stuff so quickly. That's honestly the best way that you should be doing it. And also should be trying to, circulate those clothes back in and let other people pick them up, just because, again, kids go through clothes ridiculously crazy. So I have to put that out there just because I never agreed with these parents who, again, blow their entire rent check getting their kids some J's that they're going to grow out of in 2 months. Makes no sense. If you can't, if you're not old enough to ask for it, you don't want it.
Well, let's go segue in that real quick. So the whole idea was behind, like the whole principle behind it was you spend money on yourself and live all this lavish lifestyle. You
Meanwhile, your
barely could
kid.
afford to put kids on your food on your kids' back, or excuse me, clothes in your kids' back, food in the kids' mouth is what I was gonna get to.
Yes.
Ultimately, it comes down to priorities and prioritizing what's most important, right? So meanwhile, you're gonna outgrow things as well, because we all do. We get wider as we get older. It happens. I'm sorry to admit it. Kids grow taller, whatever. And ultimately, it's just prioritizing your kids. And I think that's kind of what this stepdad, stepmom, daddy issues kind of comes back to, prioritizing your kid. making the best decisions for your kid.
Yeah.
They can't make them themselves. And if your kid tells you they want something, you have to be the adult and tell them, like, all right, it's cool to desire, but what do you need? Kind of
True.
differentiate those things, right?
True.
Now, I'm not telling anybody how to raise kids. Just saying,
Not at all.
if your kid's a priority, there's certain things that you have to, like, put out there. Certain ways you have to live your life if your kid's a priority, or the number
Exactly.
one priority, rather.
And then, like you said, with the explaining of, all right, you want this, do you need it? Setting those type of boundaries and not just giving your kid everything and anything is important too, because that's going to build up their character in the long run. Right? So again, that's where I take it when I hear like I'm saying, you know what? It's better off that I didn't get to grow up with you because I wouldn't be me, because I would have had more. And I wouldn't
He would
respect the
have
things that I have as much.
exactly. He would have had more. His character would have been different. Like I said earlier, before we started recording, I look at that line like, maybe he would have never been a millionaire because of these raps that, these raps became something that he found as a hobby, as or matter of fact, as an escape from getting bullied so much. So it was a hobby that, evolved from that escape, and he got good at it. That probably would have never happened had he had his father here and his life protected him from bullying, and maybe even we could have had like a better household. The mom could have been off drugs because the father's influence could have been stronger than her will. You know what I mean? Like,
Well,
there's a
not
lot
just
to
that.
unpack with that.
Both of them wouldn't have been trying to escape reality because that's what the drugs were for her. Right?
Well, her reality was not having enough money to get by and having this son that she can't take care of, essentially.
Exactly. But when you're high, you don't have to think about those things. So it was her escape. Whereas if there's two people footing it together, there's less of a need to try and escape. And that's like that common story too. Like you said, where would Jay-Z be if his pops was around? Same with LeBron.
Yeah, I forgot about LeBron.
Would that necessarily have played out the same way? And then there are cats who had their parents, both of them, but they didn't have them like we talked about, and in the way that they may have needed. Look at The Rock. His dad was always on tour.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like you said, it all comes down to setting that priority and making sure that your kids are covered.
I mean, with that being said, you can look at Kobe and Steph Curry. They had their pops there and they turned out great as well. It's all about the influence. So, we look at LeBron and be like, yo, he had to go above and beyond so his mom could. Same thing with Kevin Durant. So their moms wouldn't have to suffer so much longer. They looked at basketball as that talent and said, I'm going to go to the NBA. I'm going to make it happen. Did what they needed to do. So with that being said, it's like, again, that priority. So like, if you prioritize your kids in that full circle, your kids prioritize you as well. You know what I mean?
Shit, even J. Cole, right? The way he talks about his mom, but yeah, I mean, and these are the things that we should be hearing more about M's album. Z album Z. We should be hearing about these type of things where it's like he's bringing forth an issue by telling a story that he can tell only from his perspective and the way that his mind works. Yes, it's different, but it gets you to sit down and listen. The problem
Very
is,
true.
no one's really hearing what he's trying to say. Everyone's fixating on the, did he just say what I think he said? Cancel him, it's like
Yo, they're trying to cancel my man with a tweet. Like, oh no, my fault. The hashtag. It's called Eminem is canceled. Like, that's not gonna fly over very well.
No, but
But
I mean, and it's a common thing that we're seeing, a common thing, right? And it's one of those things that's more harmful than helpful.
I think a lot of it is because you have an open mind or open perspective, we're able to see the intention behind the music, right? But that's what hip hop is. Hip hop is delivering that message. You know, the Runaway Slaves, the Underground Railroad, and you know, they had these songs as well that delivered those messages. You feel me? Hip hop is kind of like that, where you have those messages and you're trying to portray the environment. I mean, Nas used to go through that as well. A lot of the great artists that don't get the recognition went through that same kind of platform, and they tried to fix things and they received certain backlash, or they didn't sell enough, or the critics said they're too smart, you know, try to keep the music dumbed down to a certain level.
Lupe made
And
a whole song about it.
they quiet the message that hip hop is trying to relate. So now we got all these rappers who freely express their carefree use of drugs and carrying weapons. And actually, when they talk about these carrying weapons, they're advocating for gun laws to remain the same in a sense.
They're
Instead
making
of,
guns look cool
yeah,
rather
everybody
than,
needs to have one now.
yeah.
You know,
It's in your
I
name
mean,
now, Machine Gun Kelly, Tech Nine.
I remember Eminem talked about it on a song. He was like, yo, I don't carry a gun to look cool. Carry that shit to protect myself, you know? And that's what that Second Amendment is about. Protecting yourself, having it in the household, not going around trying to murk people. And like the crazy thing is, every time these rappers get into some type of rap beef, right? You can't just lyrically kill somebody. You got to mention, yo, I'll go get my gun and I'll actually shoot you for real. But like, why do you have to mention that? You know what I mean? Like, you can't beef without mentioning the violent part. Because hip hop, when they used to have the battles on the corner, it was about lyrical prowess. It wasn't about, yo, put the rhymes down, let's fight right now. Yo, put the rhymes down, let's shoot it out. It wasn't that. It was more so, let's see who's got the better lyrics, who's got the better flow. And if you ain't got it, you better go home and practice. Or maybe this ain't for you. So I think, you know, having that open mind, I'm able to see what Eminem is actually talking about and how it relates. And that's kind of why I wanted to do this episode about this album, not just Eminem in general, but like the album, because it's going to create so much controversy in the near future. And once people hear controversy, they quickly listen to the song, listen to the line, and agree because the masses are saying it. But we need to speak louder than those masses who are opposing this album and let them know that there's more to be gained from this album as opposed to just the offensive lines that Eminem speaks.
No, I mean, and that's definitely a thing, right? Where it's just because someone's not saying something that you 100% agree with doesn't mean that there's not something of value to be heard, right? So you got to sit there and unpack it all and try and find out, okay, what are they saying? All right, was that something that might have been a complete shit statement? Okay, cool. It was. Why would they want to say it though? What were they really trying to get across? Those are the things that you have to ask yourself because we're in a time where communication is easier than ever, but communication is the most lost thing ever, right?
The access for communication is there.
It's there, but we don't
The
communicate well.
effectiveness is not there.
Not at all. And so it's easier now than ever for these messages to get across. But like you said, cats who have the message have stopped trying, most of them, right? Because it's just fallen on deaf ears, right? No one's listening. Everyone's kind of deciphering just so they can find something to find fault with. Not to say that, M doesn't do it to himself. He does.
All right, so let's talk about it. That line, yeah, he could have done without it. But had he done without it, would the reaction be the same if he was to change it up a little bit? Would people actually talk about the line if he was to say, R.I.P. to the lost souls in Manchester. Would people actually write articles about it? You know what I mean?
No, they wouldn't, because take it back to the past. Again, I'm gonna bring up Stan because Stan is like his biggest hit, period. The story of Stan has been told many times throughout many different formats of media, right? But the thing about Stan specifically is that song and that video, when they were combined, you got to see it through this point of view, and you're like, oh shit, there are some sick people out there that we just ignore on a day-to-day basis, or maybe we might not have had a chance or an opportunity to engage and find out what's wrong and try to get them to help, right? It brought everything to the forefront. Even though, again, the message was already out there, no one just took the time to listen to when other people were saying it or to listen to what was going on. Again, it was the fact that it was so raw and in your face. And sometimes it's that rawness that you need because we try to sugarcoat things way too much.
Yeah, kind of like the NWA, the whole concept, the whole style was that reality rap, giving it to you straight raw. The other thing I was going to say was nobody spoke about the part of the song where Eminem mentioned the Twin Towers. When he said at the end of the song, and you backpedal, that is a cowardly act, like a Saudi attack when the towers collapsed. Nobody ever said anything about that. Like, he's admitting that that attack was a coward's act. Nobody's like, fuck yeah, you're right. It was a coward's act. Nobody's praising him for that line. And he's not looking for praise. They're
No.
not saying, yo, Eminem, why are you talking about the towers? That was 19 years ago. Stop talking about the towers. Leave that alone. They're not saying that. So if he was to change the line and say, I'm on a plane on a way to the Twin Towers, yelling bombs away, they would be furious about that. And you would get the articles again. So I think him just saying it in such a manner that's explicit to its content is what draws that attention. And maybe he had to say it that way. Eminem is the biggest critic of his own music. So I'm sure he's had other lines that could have worked in that place, but he was like, nah, I need to stir up some shit. We need to talk about this. And that's what needs to be looked at instead of just saying, oh, Eminem said this, cancel him. Why did he say that?
Exactly.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was why did he release that on Martin Luther King weekend? I didn't realize it until today. I was like, oh, today's Martin Luther King's Day? All right. And I'm just bumping an Eminem album in the morning. Yo, I ain't gonna hold you. I had that joint on repeat all night long. I woke up to it playing. I'm like, okay. But why did he have that impact on this weekend? Was it purposeful? Was it coincidence? I know Eminem doesn't particularly plan these things like that, but this album was planned because he actually shot a video for it. The same day the album came out, the video was out, and within hours, all the lyrics were uploaded on the internet. So maybe the lyrics could be like somebody else just with a keen ear just listening to everything. But I mean, for crying out loud, Godzilla, man, to get all those words correct, that's gonna take some time because he spit that John like three times fast. So I don't know, but just saying, like, this album was definitely prepared for. Was it purposefully released on this weekend?
And then, if it was, what's the bigger message?
Right. So, you know, with Martin Luther King preaching nonviolence constantly, and then Eminem's releasing an album that's, you know, advocating for gun reform, I think it was purposefully released at this time. I think he wants us to pay more attention because on Martin Luther King Day, everybody wants to go on the internet and post what the great Martin said. They want to take his quotes and put it up on there to get attention and Nobody ever actually follows in that guy's footsteps too much, right? They just say, oh yeah, this was a great day in history. Boom. I got some attention. I got some engagement. This is great. Wait till tomorrow when I post my next stuff, you know? But there are some people who actually read the quotes and take heed and they pay attention and they open up their eyes and stuff. And some of the quotes that are said kind of motivate you to follow your own dreams. They kind of motivate you to want to reform something, want to change something that's wrong with the world. And that's what Dr. King was about. He wasn't about, oh yeah, just because this is the popular thing to do or the unpopular thing to do, I'm gonna go ahead and take a stand. It was like, nah, like dead ass. I think the world can work in a better way if we were all united. And maybe I can't change it, but I'd be damned if I sit here and let it go by without me putting in any effort.
See, what I would take away from it is two things. If it was a planned thing for Martin Luther King Day, then one part of it is just breaking down the title alone.
Okay.
Music to Get Murdered By. Dr. King was murdered.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the other part about it would be his most famous quote is, "I have a dream."
Yeah.
So if M's sharing what's wrong, because M shows you the dark side of things, then he's showing you this nightmare and trying to encourage people to rise up to have a dream. So, I mean, if it was planned, then I could see something like that definitely being the case, where it's like, yo, King had a dream, but this is our nightmare. What are we
Could
gonna
be.
do about it?
Yeah. I mean, because if you're talking about nightmares, the track is called Darkness. You know what I mean? That's like, and then all the things he talks about as well is just like dark theme, like the abuse, the drug abuse, the physical abuse, verbal abuse, all that shit. It's a dark theme around it. So, like, if this is the nightmare, if he's America's nightmare, you know, how do we wake up from that? How do we go ahead and reform everything? You know what I mean? You got people who are humanitarians who want to see the world become a better place, want to see human become a better things, you know, advance and all this stuff. But they can't do it by themselves. It's like I tried to say before, we got these social media platforms, and a lot of us just share memes back and forth. And I don't partake in that so much because I want to use my platform for something else. I want to use my platform to encourage other people, to inspire others, to push people to be the best version of themselves. That's truly what I represent as a person. And I feel like if more people were to take a stand in that kind of fashion, the world would be much better. Like by you sharing memes, like, yeah, comedy is good and everything like that. But what are you doing to rectify the situation? Because memes are pretty much relatable situations that we've been in or we can see ourselves being in. And that's it. We find the humor in that because it's relatable. That's the key ingredient there. But how do you fix these situations? How do we stop them from going on? How do we better ourselves?
It's the call to action.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone can protest or lodge complaints, do things like the hashtag cancel Eminem, but what are you actually doing then about the real issues? Right? If you're going to get upset about certain lines and songs, if you're going to get upset about how they may have an impact on past events, well, then what are you doing to make sure that those past events don't happen again? Because the old quote has yet to be proven wrong. History always repeats itself.
Right.
You know? And. Where it's so weird to say and hear someone say, this is the best age to be alive in, but it's also the worst age to be alive in as well. With just everything that's going on, because of how comfortable we are with being inactive.
I was gonna say, with history repeating itself, right? The school shootings constantly happening, and there's no call to action for that, right? We're just like, shit happens. Let's put armed security guards in school. Let's put metal detectors in school, but we're not biting ahead of the bigger problem, right? Being the reform, or kids having access to these weapons, right? Gun owners. They buy the weapon. They're not required to buy a safe. And even if they were required to put it, buy a safe at the same time, who's making sure that they use the safe? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of hard to regulate that once the gun is purchased. Kind of hard to regulate whose hands it falls in
But it's not even just
after purchase.
the gun, right? I mean, remember what happened in Times Square? Like, we're just in the age of terror.
I was gonna go back and say though, the Columbine, that happened, and then it's happened subsequently after that. But recently, Eminem shed light on the Santa Fe shooting on this album, and nobody said a thing about it. He shed light onto the Santa Fe thing, trying to change the gun acts, right? But nobody said a thing about it because it's all coveted by the Manchester bombing. So, I mean, like you said, history repeats itself. Columbine, Santa Fe, and like I said, it happens all the time. So, is it on us as people? How many people can gather up? Like, should a rally tomorrow to see who wants to protest the gun reforms? And then if I should do it, who's going to join me? How do I get them to join me? I think a lot of times we listen to these messages and we don't take action about it. And it's because we have that fear to act or that fear of failure, which shameless plug. So another episode we had permission to fail. But it's like, who gets this conversation started after Eminem?
Well, it's not about starting it because it started, right? Who keeps it going and who actually takes action? Because M's not the first to start it and he might not be the last. Who's actually going to take action to make these changes? Which, and I'm talking grand scope, right? Even with the daddy, the parent issue thing, right? How are we going to take action today, knowing that, again, there's somebody in the world right now feeling like this? Actually, more than one person feeling like this about their parents. Right? We know this is happening. Yo, it costs you nothing to be a mentor or a father figure.
Very true.
Right? Bullying. Again, those things happen, but it costs you nothing to do something kind for somebody else. And there are people doing it, but they don't get as much play as when things go wrong. Like one of my favorite stories that I've seen on the internet, or two of them actually, there's that one picture. I don't know how accurate it is, but hell, spread it and let it be what we think it is. Because it's what we need, right? There was a boy who's sitting by himself, and then a volunteer who came to speak at the wherever they were at decided he was going to sit and have lunch with him and just talk with him, so he's not alone by himself all the time. Like, yo, stuff like that costs you nothing. And again, being a good parent, teaching your kid to do something like that costs them nothing. Right? And that's how you end up stopping those other things from happening, because now usually the kids who get bullied are the ones who are by themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you can't control what people do, right?
No.
So in the school, when they say no bullying, the prince is not walking around looking for bullying. Bullying happens when nobody's watching, right? It happens on the low. It could be the body language, not just the actual verbal act, right? But I guess what you're pretty much alluding to is like, in these moments, we have to get out of our own head, get out of our own perception of things, and like kind of just pay attention. And in those moments, be what's needed in the moment. Be the hero that's needed, because you can stop a suicide by just waving at somebody and having that conversation. People that are alone, they kind of need to feel like they're not alone, right?
Exactly.
So I guess in a sense, it's just being more present in life. The other thing I was going to say was a lot of the times these kids on the internet, they do these stupid challenges. And there was a stupid challenge on TikTok called the Juice WRLD Challenge when they were like having seizures and shit, which was fucking fucked up. But things like that. I remember the dancing to the music while walking out the car, or ghost riding the car challenge, or whatever the fuck it's called. That the cinnamon challenge and the cracker challenge and all these challenges that motivate people to do these stupid things. When do we start the challenges to raise a better kid, or to stop abusing kids, or to donate money to this cause? When do we start these positive challenges of like, let's end drug addiction, let's end substance abuse? You know what I mean? When do we start these challenges, and how do we display them so that everybody follows in these footsteps? Or is it because it's positive, nobody cares about it because it's not happening to them? You know what I mean? When do we encourage people to start speaking up for themselves with these challenges, like a speak out challenge, if you're being abused in any manner? And that's kind of what I wanted to do with like the with Shard and I, we talked about this, like creating like some type of workshop where we can have people come together and talk to one another. People that are going through depression, anxiety, or any other type of mental illness or any type of suicidal ideation, come together and just talk to one another and try to, I guess, in a sense, have mentors or counselors or somebody talk these kids off that edge, right? A lot of times with depression, people that I've met that had it, I don't necessarily know how to talk to them because everybody gets it in a different way. But when you're depressed, you know what you need, you just don't want it. So I kind of want people with depression, anxiety, and everything else come out to us and tell us what you need in those times. And then when you're going through whatever vibe or situation at that moment, since we know what you need, we can present that to you with extra tenacity to make sure that you get what you need. We don't just give up on you type thing. That's kind of the law and scope of things that I want to create, that workshop. And I mean, it's going to take work, you know what I mean? But I think that's a step, you know. At least I'm thinking in the right direction, you know what I mean? Like, how many other people are thinking in that direction? You know, I think a lot of times these things just go unnoticed until somebody dies, and then it's like, oh shit, we should have fixed it.
Yeah, the goal definitely is to be proactive and not retroactive,
Right.
right? Like you don't want to start baby-proofing your house after your baby's already had an incident, right? You don't want to put down that caution, floor might be slippery sign after several people have broken their necks. Like it's. You want to attack things before they have a chance of happening. And you're right. It's little things like that, that while, yeah, it's not going to be an overnight process, you know, you don't want a Band-Aid to cure the problem. This might take a little bit of surgery, right? But I think it's a good idea. And I think there's more of it that needs to happen. Like, we need more community now than ever, because I feel like communities have been broken. just through everything that we're discovering about the world. And these are the ways that we can come together as communities. Even if it's just a community of fans who listen to the same music and get the same message and decide to do something about it, we can build a community then to help other people. And that's a big thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, in addition to that, it takes a village to raise a kid. That idea right there. So we all got to kind of help each other grow up in a sense. But when you say we've lost communities in a sense, I think we've lost the physical essence of community, but we've gained this online community. I know if you go on Instagram and you hashtag depression, you'll see a lot of people posting depressive things. Some of these people, if you look at them, it's a cry out for help. Other people, it's just bringing awareness to the situation. Other people, it's clout chasing. Instagram has some type of message at the top, I think, or somewhere it pops up saying, "Here's a suicide hotline if you need help," and that's all they've done for it. But technically speaking, that hashtag alone is its own community. And if I was to go on one of those pages and talk to people and go through their friend list, they may already have a community there. You know what I mean? So it's a matter of finding these communities and enabling these acts of progressiveness, I guess. Shit.
Not definitely.
I was not trying to take this conversation there. Kind of sidetracked, but that's good. It's good.
Well, I mean, that's what, again, good ideas about change are supposed to do, and hopefully this conversation that we're having, that the listeners are partaking in, they can it will inspire them to have another conversation with someone else and keep that going, and again keep influencing change and action. But you're right, like we have shifted away from that physical aspect of community because the trust has been broken. But with the internet, there are those little communities, and I'm hoping they get a chance to grow and become something bigger, and escape the negativity that's out there. Because that's really the killer of everything. It's just the negativity.
Yeah.
That's why
So,
oh, sorry. Go ahead.
no, go ahead, go. No, finish
No,
up.
I was going to say that's why I respect how M has been going at making his albums lately, right? Because while he has a very unique way of dealing with negativity, he's dealing with it. Like, he's not succumbing to what we're all kind of like saturated in, which is that fear of rejection, right? That fear of not fitting in. They say, this album sucked, M comes out with another one. Here, I give you exactly what you're looking for. What now? Oh, this one sucks too, and here's another one. What are you gonna say is wrong with this one? Because I got four more waiting. Like, he doesn't let the criticism or the rejection keep him down. Like, he'll take the hit and he'll be pissed that he got hit, but he doesn't let it keep him down. And I think that's also something that we should really be taking away as well.
Right. So the main takeaway is not to let criticism slow you down. I know Kanye said on his first album, he used his arrogance as the engine to power his dreams, but he also let those critics power those dreams as well. They motivated him, like people saying that he couldn't do something. That was his motivation there. Eminem takes criticism from a different level. It's just like, I know I'm good at my craft, but you guys are saying that it's not good. And I'm trying to give you guys that message that you need. I'm trying to put the battery in your back because Eminem could go out and vote and he can do all this stuff. But if the masses aren't with him, what's the point? So he's trying to like readjust his arsenal in a sense to get back and deliver that message again. And that criticism that he's gotten from Revival, he could have just said, fuck it, I'm hanging up my hat, I'm done rapping. You know, you guys are unappreciative. I got $1 million plus, you know, multi-millionaire. Fuck you guys. He could have said that, but he's still trying to deliver that message. You know what I mean? So I think anybody else who's working towards something so positive or something that you believe in, or something that you love with such passion, something that keeps you awake at night because you got to make it come to life. Something like so. You're on the edge of your seats all the time until this dream takes off. People like that, you need to remember the criticism is always going to be around. People are always going to try to slow you down. They're going to try to stop you. They're going to tell you that you're wrong. At the end of the day, if you can't sleep because this thing is keeping you awake at night, make it happen. Find a way around the criticism. Find a way to persevere. Bring these dreams to life because maybe. It's something that the world needs more than you can know.
Oh, definitely. You have to stand by your convictions. And we're seeing a lot of that. We just need to see more of it. And that's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing.
Right. So, I think it's time to wrap up this conversation. I wanted to say that this conversation should have been short and concise, but God damn. Now, we've talked about this album a little bit over the week, and I've talked to a lot of other people about it. And I thought I was going to be good to have this conversation. Like, you know, I really spit out a lot of stuff over the weekend and everything like that. I thought I was gonna be good to like knock this out in 30 minutes, but shit. Goddamn. Well, 2 hours is about right, I guess. So for all those that don't know, Chadwick is a good friend of mine. He has this thing called Super Fan Nostalgia Trip. It is his latest podcast.
Yes.
You wanna talk about that a little bit? I know you got your first episode out, right?
I have the first one out. I need to jump back in and get some other episodes recorded, which I have a few things in mind for that. But essentially, it's a podcast that I'm starting where I just talk about whether it's something that's current and mainstream, like things that are happening with Marvel, and go through why it excites me, what it's making me feel. And I'm going to, of course, bring back a lot of elements from my past, kind of like how I did with this discussion, towards those old comic book movie moments, and the similarities that I see and where I think they can go, or what I would have done differently, or hope to have seen done differently with something, and just take you on this trip nostalgically. into like a deeper dive into just different subject matter. So of course, when Ghostbusters comes out, I'm going to be all over that. But even if it's something that isn't necessarily this grand scheme thing, like for example, IT Crowd. I've been getting the girlfriend into watching that. And it's been a huge trip down memory lane for me because I love that show. It's probably one of my all-time favorite shows. And yeah, I never get tired of hearing those jokes, but watching them is triggering back to being back in Pennsylvania and sitting in my room, sitting on my bed and watching that for the first time, which is great. So little things like that, try to hit you with a few things that I know you might not have even known about, that would be awesome. Like I think I want to do an episode on Frank Herbert's Dune. I was watching a TED Talks about that, and that's my favorite book series. So yeah, it's not popular at all at the moment, like at all, but it needs to be. And they're actually trying to work on a new movie for it, so maybe that might be something I'd work on as well.
Okay, cool. And what's the platforms that you're on as far as where they can hear your podcast? And what is your Instagram?
Okay, so currently I am on Anchor, of course, and Spotify, I believe, through it. I will be up on Apple, the iTunes store, pretty soon. My Instagram is, oh geez, I believe it's SFNT is me. SFNT is me. And that's where you can find me on Instagram, I believe, as well as Twitter. But I haven't really, still building up everything, and still working on my old podcast as well. So a lot of things to do, but.
Right. So just for the listeners that are, he's starting up a new venture with this podcast. He has another one called Four Dummies podcast. Excuse me, I almost blanked out there. The Four Dummies podcast. He has a co-host. Shout out to Jason, that boy JR.
Yes, sir.
You guys pretty much talk about video games and things like that on there, right?
Yeah, mostly video games and tech, but with us, it spirals into other things a lot too.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And as many of you guys already know, my name is Taekwon. You can find me on Instagram at All I Do Is Fit, Snapchat, All I Do Is Fit, Facebook, Taekwon Lino. I have a website, All I Do Is Fit.net. Email address is All I Do Is Fit at gmail.com. This Comedy Conversation podcast is on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, and pretty much anywhere else. So you can get a podcast from, I think Overcast is one of them, Radio Public. But the main three are there. And I want to thank you guys for listening to this extended podcast. I'm gonna go and try to master it up. I might do two episodes, might break it down to three or four, depending on the timing. I don't want to drone you guys out too long. So maybe 4 25-minute sessions or just maybe two sessions, a part one and part two. I'll figure it out. But thank you guys for listening. I hope you appreciate this podcast. I hope you guys listen to the album and kind of, take away the same thing that Chad and I took away, because it does have that meaning. You may not love Eminem, but he is bringing awareness to these topics. And because he is, we should as well. Maybe not the same way he's doing it, but we should bring awareness to these topics that are plaguing our communities. Until next time, peace.